Thank you. Rush, he isn't going to have that problem.
Yeah, he would.
That's fine. I think we have a serious problem with inflation. Surveys of popular opinion indicate that this is what people are worried about, far more than anything else. And we have an unhappy country. We are prosperous, very prosperous, but it's an unhappy prosperity, in good measure because of the inflation and what's happening in the stock market. And with interest rates rising the way they have been, and of late the Federal Reserve has in good measure been responsible for it. Well, where are we going to be? Federal Reserve, we can go further than we have. We've already got off the floor and run the risk of bringing on a recession. That would make no sense. Therefore, I think that we've got to, for psychological reasons, for political reasons, for economic reasons, try to slow down the movement and take some new measures with a view to curbing the inflation, which is so troublesome to the American people, as I said.
What measures? What do you mean by this?
Well, if you look at my shop, I think we've gone pretty far, and we may go further. Beyond that, I think I would do something visible in the wage and price fair. And beyond that, I would do something on the fiscal side. Now, it's true that before the election, you emphasized, there are going to be new taxes. I've given a good deal of thought to that. And there are two measures. You've heard me speak of them before, which I think are reasonably consistent with that election pledge. One is a variable investment tax credit, and the purpose there is stabilizing the economy, and the revenue effects are incidental. And another is a compulsory savings plan, which you could set up in various ways. You see, you have to exempt individuals below, let's say, an income of $10,000. You might want the burden of it to fall largely on business rather than individuals, and if not individuals in the upper income bracket. You can do that in various ways. If it's compulsory saving, tied to income in the case of individuals, beyond a certain level of income, tied to profits in the case of corporations. You can, at one extreme, just siphon off that purchasing power and pay no interest at all. At another extreme, you can pay a market rate of interest. I wouldn't do the latter. Then, as for a degree of effectiveness, you can make that money available to the Treasury. Or, if you want to have maximum restraining effect on the economy, you can ask the Treasury or have the Treasury lock those funds up in the Federal Reserve, you see. Now, the beauty of these two devices is, as I see it, that they are reversible. You do it now, and you siphon off purchasing power, and nobody's too smart, and there's no such thing as an expert on the economic future. Take my word for it. Six months later, if you want to reverse course, you can do that. A regular type of tax, you see, where you're stuck with it.
How credible, Lord, let's talk about both of these pieces. Not in terms of recommending it, but in terms of getting the hell we went through trying to get a tax bill before a responsible tax bill. If you can get something like this through, I'm not referring to the Wilbur bills. Wilbur no longer controls the committee, though. Nor the Congress.
A reduction, this is the variable investment tax credit means in the first instance a reduction of the credit. I think this would be popular.
Well,
they want to go further.
There's no closed rule anymore.
You know, whenever there's a tax bill, war over these days.
But you would do this, what I'm suggesting, what I'm asking, you would throw this sentence, say it as another possible amendment to the tax proposals that are there now.
Yeah, and I would get, I don't think I would do it unless Wilbur Mills was willing to join you. You'd be going for it. This has to be done in a certain way. Now, for example, my board, we put forward a proposal along these lines in connection with a report at the Congress that we were asked to do. And then what I recommended was to range from 0 to 10 or perhaps 15%. We'd like to come into real estate. 0 frightens business. Now, if you set the range, let's say, between 3 or 4 on one hand and 15 or 16, by Jove, you're going to get a very different response from the businessman because they can see a higher average investment tax credit of 7, and I think that's good. It ought to be higher. And you can meet that opposition. As far as the Congress is concerned, there is always a political problem, discretionary authority to the president. But there are two devices for limiting that. First is giving Congress a certain veto power, that is, they could act under Reorganization Act machinery. Second, I modify that so that Congress can go beyond that. For example, suppose that you want to go from 7 to 10. All right, then under special machinery, Congress could move between a range of 9 and 11. Go one below yours, or go one above, or possibly 2 points below or above. So the Congress could play a larger partnership role. Now, whether with these changes the thing would be saleable or not to the Congress, I don't know. But in the present mood, of the Congress, I think they would see in this the immediate effect is an increased tax on business. I think there'd be a lot of support for it. Henry Rogers would buy it quickly, much too quickly. Makes me wonder if it's the right question.
Any other views?
I think one of our problems, Mr. President, if I can interject, I understand all that Arthur has been saying. One of our problems is we preached very hard a year and a half ago in arguing for the investment tax credit, and we didn't have enough to invest. Particularly in manufacturing, we're going to have to get more competitive. The way to do that is to invest. And we're getting an increase in investment. I think, Arthur, we discussed this at great length yesterday. I think we all agree that, in a sense, the level of investment is not even adequate now. So we all want to see more investment. And it's only a question of the rate of change of the investment and whether it can be reasonably sustained. That worries everybody, worries Arthur, worries the rest of them. But I think that in a sense, we argued for a lot of things, including the investment tax credit, in order to bring about some results. And we now are seeing those results. And so we have success. It worked. And it works so well now, we probably suppose we're saying that maybe we even have too much of a good thing, but we don't think we're there.
Mr. President, I would say just three things. As to my view of the substantive economic situation, I would tend to join in the statements that Hunt Bergman and George, and we're not quite so pessimistic as others. On the other hand, in terms of what to do, I would find that Arthur's proposal would fit my view of the economy as well. Quickly, the compulsory savings, or as I would call it, economic stabilization reserve apply just on business, because it is just business this last few months or few weeks that is out reporting such tremendous profits. And while it really won't hurt business in any substantive economic way, the public perception of it would be that we're taking on the right guys at this time. Don't know they're not really being hurt by the way we would do it, but with labor negotiations coming up, I think we should be postured in responding to those tremendously high profits that have been reported. Couple to a gas tax that we talked about at some length yesterday. distinguished as a whole reason and great rationale related to the energy position.
Right.
And then that would be kind of a package of what to do that would have economic effect, would have comparison effect, and then most of all, I think the visible presidential administrative posture that first we're interested in the subject, we're aware of the subject, we have a position on the subject, and we're taking leadership on the subject. I think are to me the makings of what we should be doing here.
I would agree with all that, but I bet we had a long discussion yesterday. We can try to review it all the way along. Work those on the speech act and make comparisons and review that and try to put the pieces together. I developed grave doubts about the excise tax.
Okay.
I defended, Mr. President, as an economist. I'm an economist, I can defend it. On the grounds of siphoning off purchasing power, on the grounds of dealing with the energy problem. But I think that the psychological and political effect of increasing the excise tax at this time could be injurious. People are so worried about inflation. And the average man thinking about this, what does he see? Prices are up. He's going to travel during the summer. It's going to cost him more. And then you've got wage contracts, about 4 million or so tied to the cost of living index. The cost of living index will go up a little. And then I recalled, I think I'm right in this, when Pompidou, before his election, what did he do? To deal with the inflation problem was worrying the French people. And he was under severe criticism. What he did was to lower the excise tax. Now, a guy like me, looking in from the outside, could criticize him, you see, on economic grounds. But I think politically he was probably right. Well, this is something
theoretically, it's good, but I didn't believe it was going to be just worse. It's a question of, first, it should stand alone. It should stand a package of things that fall heavily in another direction. And second, we have to consider in light of the alternatives. The other alternatives, the alternatives are a shortage that I think most all forecasts will say is going to be there, and with an expectation to price lower or expectation to suffer, to not have the shortages that are even now directly from the political alternatives. So to me, the issue of the tax at this time is a particularly timely one, not because of the economics as much as the energy heading. For the energy heading, it is generally, first, we do have shortages. Second, we can portray, and it is a fact that the Arabs, most of all, are the ones that are doing the best out of our present energy condition. If we were to take that tax, as we yesterday discussed, and use it as an energy R&D funding mechanism, we not only have increased, in effect, total take without raising federal or without raising income taxes that we're all here committed not to raise, so we haven't raised income taxes, we have raised some money to not only accomplish domestic R&D, but to say to the Arabs, we really mean it, we're going to go strongly against R&D, strongly for more R&D. We are portraying it as a half patriotic thing and a half economic matter, rather than we're just trying to collect money. Furthermore, the net effect will be probably to reduce consumption about down to the level where the shortage that we otherwise would have to deal with by other means, will that be covered by this means, just the elasticity of the market? We have raised some money to not only accomplish domestic R&D, but to say to the Arabs, we really mean it, we're going to go strongly against R&D, strongly for more R&D. We are portraying it as a half patriotic thing and a half an economic matter, rather than we're just trying to collect money. Furthermore, that effect will be probably to reduce consumption about down to the level where the shortage that we otherwise would have to deal with by other means will then be covered by this, just the elasticity of the market.